touched, but well, you were talking about the 2020 with the kids on heroin.
Friday night, yeah. Yeah, I watched that. Jesus, that was grim.
You know what was just blew my mind about that was that these kids get a heroin habit, and then they're all over their parents to support it. They steal money from their parents, and the one guy was living in a halfway house in Maine. His parents sent him money every week for food, and of course he spent it on heroin.
Of course.
And what about this chick who lived in Minneapolis who had a $100 a day heroin habit?
Yeah.
She had no job.
Nope.
Her parents were unwittingly supporting a $100 a day heroin habit.
Yeah, they would just give her $100, you know, just kind of an allowance. You know, she needed, she had her expenses for going out with her friends or whatever, as she told the parents.
Amazed. She said she'd ask for money. Well, I just say I had to get money for such and such. Who asks for $100 a day when you're 20 or 21, 22?
That's right. And on top of that, she had in her bedroom everything, the light switch, the doorknobs, the drawers,
The resin marks from her fingers.
Yeah, all had black fingerprints on it. I mean, heavy, like somebody, like a car mechanic who got home after a long day's
and didn't
work
wash his
and
hands.
Didn't wash her hands and touched everything. It was that times 20. And her parents just thought that she was rummaging around in an ashtray looking for cigarettes, and that was accounting for it. Give me a break.
How stupid is that?
Yeah.
What are all those black marks on your light switches and your door?
Yeah.
Oh, it's from rummaging around for cigarettes in an ashtray.
Yeah, which was just absolutely ludicrous.
What?
Of course, the truth was she had black tar heroin, and of course, she was showing us all these tin foil pieces that all had each black mark represented a hit that she had done. Of course, she was keeping all of these, and there were like 6-7 black marks on every little 4x4 piece of tin foil.
But isn't it amazing how these kids have like a nice little shooting gallery in their house, in their parents' house?
Well, that's what these the 2020 reporter was trying to point out when he was talking to the parents. Like, you know, he's got a perfect situation. She's safe. She's at home. She can do the drugs, not worry about it. She's got the money for it. She's, you know, nobody's giving her any grief. It's perfect. It's a nice arrangement.
Yeah. Why would she ever change?
Yeah. Why would she ever change it? And God almighty, that one kid, Justin, I believe it was. Oh, was he burnt? Whether he was stoned or not.
Wow. The way he talked was just, he talked like this all the time.
Oh, no, it didn't matter if he was in prison or if he was stoned or if he wasn't.
The cravings are pretty strong. I haven't fallen off the wagon yet, but the cravings are like really strong.
Oh, that kid is so burnt. And at the end, of course, didn't you just know when they said that we were going to see who was going to make it and who wasn't the very end? Didn't
you
just
know
it?
Yeah, it was so obvious that guy was going to fall off the wagon.
Oh, God, yeah. He just took off, never to be heard from again, just wandered off over the horizon. And you know he's laying around somewhere nude and just out of it.
I'd like to play some of that. I can't understand, because I've seen this phenomenon before where people who get into heroin, even after they've been off it for 6 months, they still sound like the total burnout, man. They continue. I mean, how would you ever get a job talking like that?
It wouldn't work. For once in the interview, it'd take all afternoon just to say a few things like, what's your name and how old are you? Where did you work before you came here? It would take literally all day, man.
I think I'd be really good at, like, sales, because I like meeting people, and I mean, honest to God, that's how this, we should top up 2020.
And grim statistics, too. I mean, all these people going to rehab and having basically 80% fail. The cravings are just too strong, no matter what they're put through, no matter all the, you would think after going through the vicious withdrawals, which the blonde girl, because these are all teenagers that they're talking about, kind of trying to show everybody
suburban teenagers.
Yeah, trying to show everybody that, you know, suburban white kids, you know, are out there doing heroin like crazy.
Wait, isn't it kind of an old story, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. It's an old concept, absolutely, that it's heroin has creeped into our neighborhoods, and we can't close our eyes to this, and this is a problem no matter what your background. And with this blonde girl, no matter what, I'm just amazed that she would talk about the withdrawal symptoms, which she says it was 10 times the flu, abdominal cramps and profuse sweating and feeling extremely sick and all of her joints aching. And you would think after going through withdrawals like that, I guess I'm amazed.
Yeah.
It's trip after trip to rehab.
Pretty powerful
stuff. The cravings are so powerful. They go right back to it the same day sometimes when they're let out.
Well, what about this guy who not only did he fail a bunch of rehabs, but then he got busted for B&E,
yeah,
trying to steal money to, yep, support his habit.
Yeah.
And he got so loaded the whole weekend before he went into jail.
Yeah.
So that guy basically,
that's that burnout,
came off of heroin, uh-huh, in jail.
Yeah, that burnout. Oh. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, and he wanted to go out and score is the biggest pile of drugs he could get, just like a record haul. And wasn't it
before he went in?
He's calling his parents. He was like, I'm going to jail in 10 minutes. I'll be going to jail. And it's like, and did you see when he was staggered up to the jail building?
Yeah.
He was just sort of staggering.
With his pants just, at way, like halfway down his ass.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was thinking, the same thing. Like, God, you know, you're going to go through this whether you're in rehab or not. Why not go through it, you know, under, you know,
some kind of controlled circumstances,
and, yeah,
in jail?
Not in jail, man.
Well, listen to this guy talk. Here's, we just kind of jumped in the middle of this story.
Bang. That song, Sweet Child of Mine by the Guns N' Roses, is one of my mom's favorite songs. And she always said it's our song.
But today, he's Justin driving is like that. On the road to,
yeah,
he's nice. Driving like this. Look at his eyes. He's out of it.
It's behind the wheel. Minnesota, just a memory.
Love to fish because I'm from Minnesota.
The once bright-faced boy who loved the outdoors and planned to follow in his father's footsteps in the family pipe-fitting business, Justin is now a ghost of his former self. Instead of 2 years of college under his belt, he has three stints in rehab.
Oh, wow. Fancy wearing the Raiders gear, by the way.
There's a picture of the family, sister, me. My grandmother. So I was high on heroin in that picture.
So when did you stop being like everybody else's ideal kid?
I asked myself, like, you know, when did this happen? Or, like, where did time go? I went to a small private school, and I used to be an all-star athlete.
You did not. I don't believe that.
He started very early with drugs. First with marijuana, eventually escalating to heroin. How could it have been nipped in the bud? Where was the missed opportunity?
I don't think it could have been nipped. I think I would have had to find out for myself what drugs were like.
No.
Oh, my God. Who talks like that?
Oh, my God.
His parents sent him to a halfway house in Maine.
Bunch of drug addicts thrown in one house. You know, we had some fun.
But after just 3 months of sobriety, he couldn't shake the cravings.
Came here, got sober, then got high.
Justin,
I'm starting to like this guy. Just kidding. I still hate you.
Yeah, she's my girl.
Talking about Marilyn Monroe on his
poster. He keeps a spoon in his box of honey bunches of oats, but it's not for breakfast.
It's to cook up the drug of choice.
Like Ashley, he doesn't have a job, and his parents unwittingly fund his habit, wiring up to $100 a week, thinking it's for food.
I'm going to go collect my Western Union so I can finally get some cash in my pocket. So today's a pretty exciting day. Here we go.
To him, exciting means...
How you doing on time? Gotta be boom, bang.
Boom, bang. In other words, buy drugs.
Waiting for people to call back.
His daily routine.
3:45 and haven't got a call back.
An endless waiting game.
Seriously, who would hire someone who talks like that? He sounds like such
nobody,
a total burnout.
Nobody.
No matter what he's doing or if he's high or not.
Right, and his eyes are perpetually at half-mast. No matter what, whether he's on drugs or not. Oh, my God.
You know, Channel 4 reran their story that that gorgeous girl who had the heroin problem, and now she speaks to kids, and she's like 22, and she's way hot.
Mm.
Channel 2 did that story again on Saturday night, and God, she's a knockout. But she doesn't sound, these people sound like total burnouts, no matter whether they're high or not. She sounded totally normal after she'd been off it for a while.
Well, they found some real beauties for this story, that's for sure.
You're not kidding. How about the girl?
These kids screwed up.
How about the girl that, to support her habit, started doing tricks?
Oh, God,
and sometimes does 15 guys a day.
15 guys a day, clearly just servicing them. You know, just, you know what,
oh
to them.
God.
Yeah. How do you like that? Easy money, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Gross.
She said, well, I'm gross. High when I'm doing it, so it really is no big deal. I don't feel anything.
Her self-esteem was totally gone. She was so shamed, and she's so high. She's, God almighty, you would think she'd fall asleep. You'd think the guys that hire her, she'd fall asleep in the middle of it, you know?
You know, she probably does. They have to wake her up. Come on, let's go wake up and finish me.
I know. Come on, I got 5 minutes. Got to be home to the wife. Let's go, let's go. While we're young.
The guy, Justin, who we were just listening to, that guy really pissed me off because at one point he implies that there's a lot of addiction in his family tree, which, you know, I understand it makes you more susceptible, no question. But he seemed to be implying that, well, there's really no point in fighting it that hard because it's just destined to be that way, and that's just the way it is. You sound a little like Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that just strikes me as such an easy excuse to say, well, it's in the genes, so I really don't have any choice, man.
Yeah.
You know, if I can get out of it, great, but what's the hurry?
I know.
It's really predestined.
And then once he's in jail and he's sitting there looking just like he did when he was sitting in his bedroom, no difference whatsoever. And all he could think about was when he gets out, he's going to go get drugs again. It was all that was on his mind.
Oh,
is getting out and scoring again. And boy, these dealers not coming through at all for these people. They're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. These people, no callbacks. He ends up having to take this Suboxone drug to hold off the withdrawals.
Boy, it's no wonder dealers don't have any other job because they wouldn't be able to hold any job. Dealers are just so lame.
Yeah. And I guess the problem is because it's such a struggle to get the money on a daily basis. Because you always would think that it's like people, if they're going to drink, you know, you go out and buy a couple of, you know, a couple of cases of beer, right, or something like that. But instead, it's like they go out and they buy these balloons, and they said they're put in balloons so that if the dealer has to is imminent, you just swallow these balloons and not end up dead, and then crap them up. But but the thing of it is, because it's kind of a daily thing, each day they have to go out and score and deal with it. Why don't they buy enough for the whole week?
I swear to God, I was just going to say that.
But I don't think they have the money is the problem.
But they get it every day. If they get it every day, why can't they get it 3 days ahead once in a while?
That's just it. I can't even imagine every day they have to just go out and fight and fight and fight and fight to hook up with these losers.
This is going to blow your mind. I read Artie Lang's book, you know, the stand-up. Who had he's been on a few Fox TV shows, and he just wrote a bio, and it's really good. It's a lot of it is about his heroin problems, but Artie Lang was working for Stern. He was working for Fox. He did stand up on the weekends. He gets like, I thought he said, Walters, do you remember what he got paid for his stand up? It was something ridiculously high.
Yeah, was it like $50,000 or something?
Yeah, that's about right. $50,000 he does stand up. So this guy has no issue with money, and he would drive every day. Like, he didn't want anyone to know he's doing heroin, so he'd drive like 2 hours away to score every frickin' day.
What a pain.
And I'm reading this book, and not that I would encourage anyone to be involved with heroin, but he's already involved. He's going to continue to get it. I couldn't figure out, why don't you buy a week's supply?
Yes.
I mean, is there some reason? Does something happen to the heroin after a couple of days that
it can't
be used?
No way. No, no.
Why would you do it every day?
I don't know.
Hold on, let's ask Jen.
Those risks all the time, too. You know, oh, my God, and they showed some of the bus happening. Oh, God.
Jen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you answer? I just see the note here says Jen does heroin. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I did.
You did, okay.
For a long time.
Can you answer the question why somebody who has more than enough money would buy a day's supply of heroin and then go back and buy it every day, just enough for that day, instead of buying like a week or a month's supply?
Okay, this is what happens. When you buy more than like a day's supply, you end up doing more than a day's supply.
Oh, so that's a way of controlling the your usage.
Your intake.
Pretty much, because if you don't, like, I've bought dope for a whole week before, and then
gone in 2 days.
What happens is I'll just do a little bit more, and then just a little bit more, and then before I know it, what I supposed to have on Friday is gone on Sunday.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Yeah.
It still seems like going out and getting it would be such a huge pain in the ass that eventually you would...
It's terrible. I mean, chasing Jason is the worst damn thing you could possibly do in life, but...
Hey, wait, she sounds a little bit like the heroin people on the TV special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why does everyone that does heroin talk kind of like this?
That's only usually when they're high, because I talk like that when I'm high, too. You can usually tell if I'm high because my voice changes. Hmm. But if you're sober, you usually don't talk like that. Like that one kid, he looked stoned to me.
Well, Justin, he sounded stoned.
He wasn't high, though.
No matter whether he was high or not, when he was in prison wearing his orange jumpsuit, he was talking the same way.
He talked the same way.
But he could have been high in prison, too, now.
I don't think so, because he had to come off the drug and withdraw for, like, the first week he was there.
No, man.
So how did you quit? Did you go to rehab or quit on your own?
Well, I tried rehab. It took years, though, because it's not only... heroin is such a physical addiction, and it's so hard, but the mental part of it, because once you do it so long, when you try to quit, and everybody you know was involved with it, it's almost like you have to change your entire life, the way you think, everything, and then... Like, when you're quitting, and you're trying to quit, and that's the only thing it's like you don't know what to do with yourself. It's like you forgot how to live.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to that's all you do is, you know, how...
Yeah, it's like cigarettes or any other habit, I'm sure.
Right, so all you do is pursue the drugs.
Smoke and shit, but, you know...
Well, you
can't watch
it.
The Whoops. Strong language, honey.
But I see what you're saying. Every day is in the pursuit of it, and then after that, then, of course, using it and getting laid out all day long, and then going right back the next day. When you tried on your own, did you go through some vicious withdrawal, though?
Oh, God. You know, it was terrible. And like you were saying, like the guy had quit in jail. I had detoxed in jail. I mean, I've detoxed at home. I've detoxed in treatment centers. But something, I don't know what it is, it messes your head up so bad. Something tells you, oh, I can do it just once, and I won't get that. And then once leads to twice, and then twice leads to a habit again.
Well, a lot of these things sort of rearrange your brain chemistry so that, you know, the desire to do heroin overpowers.
Well, that's
any...
what you heard about cocaine, remember?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of drugs that do that.
It literally rewires your brain.
You know, I was reading about somebody, and thanks for the call, by the way, Jen. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, see you, baby.
I was reading about somebody, and I want to say it was cocaine. You know, it's funny, when you read enough rock and roll bios, you learn so much about drugs.
Oh, God, you're not kidding.
There's a pathology, though, when you're quitting, and I don't know if it was heroin or pills or cocaine, I can't remember which one, but there's a pathology that your brain develops about quitting where you develop this irrational fear of quitting and what those 2 days or 3 days are going to be like. Mm-hmm. So that so overpowers you, you just keep going forward and doing the drug because you've developed this. And it literally says it's a change in your brain in the way you think that is so freaked out about being without the drug and what you have to go through and also missing it, that it just overrides any kind of willpower or desire you have to quit. But they describe it as a pathology. It's literally something that, you know, develops in your brain. You can't even do anything about it.
One woman was trying to address that social worker. She's trying to, because they're talking about willpower, and she just said that her belief was just the willpower just erodes. It's just not there. But you would think if everybody wanted to, because I guess it just seems like when you go through something as horrible as that detox thing, it's so horrible. I can't imagine everyone.
Yeah, your muscles ache, swelling up, and crapping at the same time.
Oh my God! Doesn't it seem like there ought to be a drug to prevent all that?
And yeah, you would think.
Just think how many people they talk about that are addicted that probably, like these people, the whole story was they really did want to get off it. They just couldn't get off it. Doesn't it seem in 2010 there'd be something that you could give people? They could even do it at home. They wouldn't have to embarrass themselves. They could just, you know,
well, I think
take
there are,
something and they'd be all, they could come off the stuff.
There are things that can help you. That guy Justin had something that he was taking to withstand the days he didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what happens with these drugs? My brother's a doctor who deals with this fairly often, and he was telling me that when you have these, like a methadone, for example, people that get on methadone, first of all, they then start liking methadone,
well,
and they take that all the time, and they don't want to stop taking the methadone.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, whatever the antidote is, once they know they have an antidote, they can, oh, man, I can run out and just go get methadone, or, you know, whatever the antidote is, it keeps them going on the drug, because, like, hey, I can take a break for a few days and then go right back in because I've got the antidote. You know, I've got my methadone or Suboxone
whatever
or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that in the end can almost cause as many problems as it does. Well, I'm sure it saves a lot of asses, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, that 2020 show was really,
brutal.
Really
oh,
something.
Oh,
three
dear God.
Teenage suburban junkies. And the parents are stunning, aren't they? I couldn't believe how clueless.
I know that one set of parents that was sitting there that just had no idea when the 2020 reporter was.
No, he just thought she quit.
Oh, if they just they
really
just,
then why isn't she working or going to school or doing something? Why does she leave the house all the time?
Yeah, and the fact
and go on these drives.
Yeah, and the fact that the girl was asking for this money and that it was going to drugs and she'd had all this drop in weight and everything else.
It's also really sad that she put on all that weight because she looks so much better when she was on heroin.
You like the heroin chic look?
Her ass got huge.
Did it really?
Oh my God! There's that scene where she's walking on the beach with the other guy.
Oh, I thought she looked pretty good.
Oof, I don't know. She looked better when she was
actually laughing. I thought that was interesting to see her actually, when she was on heroin, she was just kind of,
Don't forget about the fourth girl, too, by the way.
Why was she losing
the fourth
weight?
One?
The one that was turning tricks?
Oh, yeah, we talked about her.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. 15 peni a day.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Hot.
What, but you know what? I ran the other room just when because I heard something about losing weight. Why was she losing weight? Just because they're not eating?
From doing heroin, she wasn't eating.
Yeah.
And I think she just became so enamored with heroin that all other impulses or anything else she might do with her life, everything just fell apart.
Lost her appetite.
Yeah, and same thing with school and jobs and friends. You know, everything was just heroin, 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 heroin.